Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for April 26th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to introduce themselves so people can put a name to the voice who are listening to the recording later, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Hi, I'm Red.
Great. So let's jump into the auto-generated agenda for this week. It looks like we don't have any RFCs tickets on the agenda. So let's begin with in the Pony C repo, we have pull request 4055. This is update LLVM to 14.0.1. This is still a draft PR. It looks like the status of this is I kind of had the remaining question. So looks like Gordon, you found a workaround for setting the descriptor store to volatile. I'm a little bit worried that that may be overly pessimistic. And so I'm curious, like, did you try it with the runtime bitcode and see if that worked better?
Oh, you know, I keep forgetting to do that.
Okay.
I was going to say, if there are performance concerns on that, then if we're willing to hold off on this for 3 or 4 weeks, I should probably be good enough in 3 or 4 weeks to be able to do enough extended typing to do performance testing on this by then. It could certainly be sooner, but you know, I think that would be the worst case scenario, would be 3 or 4 weeks as well if we wanted to test that.
Yeah, I think if we were to move forward with the workaround that's currently on the PR of making that descriptor store volatile, I would think we should performance test that before merging.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
But yeah, I think if it works with runtime bitcode, then maybe we don't need to make it volatile. So that's the next thing to try.
Yeah. And then after that, I'll start performance testing as soon as I can do enough typing.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to discuss about LLVM 14?
Yeah, I had to make copies of some functions that were deprecated. I don't know if you read that comment.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like a problem to make those copies.
I think that that was a wonderfully elegant solution to it. And I think it's, frankly, that the ones that you made the copies of are much easier to read at the call site what's going on than the corresponding new C function calls.
Cool.
Which are, frankly, a nightmare to read, I think.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Okay, so moving on to issue tickets in the Pony C repo, we have 4096 can call constructors on generic if constraint is a union and get a compiler assertion failure. That sounds like an interesting one. Did we already talk about this? No, I wasn't around. It looks like maybe this was discussed perhaps. Was there a sync call last week? There was not a sync call last week. So this hasn't been discussed in a sync call yet. Yeah, so this was posted by Jason. If constraint is union, we're calling. Okay, yeah. So t.create is calling a constructor on, it's assuming that the generic code is assuming that T is either default or none, but the constraint actually does not provide that guarantee. The constraint allows you to include the union as T. Oh, well, hang on, sorry. A and B is not the same as default or none. So default. Okay, default is an interface that just, okay.
Right.
So, okay.
So you could replace this with different classes and it would also be kind of the same thing.
Yeah. So this is interesting. let's see. I need to read through the comments that are here. So, union type should not be constructible with create feels more correct to Sean.
It's a bit iffy because it's actually not a union type. So if you read the second one, I think it's actually also the more straightforward fix and probably more flexible. It's just if the union type is always instantiated with either a concrete type, or if the union type is always instantiated with something concrete, then create necessarily makes sense. Like, it's a reasonable thing.
You say if the union type is instantiated with a concrete. Sorry, I'm a little bit confused by instantiation here, referring to the generic type instantiation or the constructor instantiation of the object.
The generic type instantiation. So okay. T is in this constraint, but what might also be implied here is that since you can call the constructor, it should be constrained to. Which there is already actually constraint. If you were to just type default, it actually does get caught. It's that right now the code doesn't handle unions correctly. To some degree, this is almost a tracking issue because I found that in the code that it determined this would happen. But
so you mean that the, like what I mentioned in my comment, that we should probably raise the same error for this case where you have a union type, right?
Yeah. That's an effective, and that's this option too here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we currently reject certain like impossible instantiations of these constructible versions.
Yes. Yeah, I actually wasn't aware of that special case where a constructible constraint can only be fulfilled by a concrete type argument error that Borja mentioned.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of it either, but.
It's helpful in this case that it's kind of special case like that. But yeah, I would agree that extending that special case to also cover this would be the most appropriate fix.
I think so too, from the follow-up that Borja did after, you know, a little bit. Can somebody comment to that effect? And then when they're done commenting, I'll keep this open for a minute and then I'll remove the discuss during sync. This feels like one that could be a good first issue for somebody getting started with a compiler. What do you think, Joe?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know.
I would personally say yes, because I saw the code where this is checked. I think it's probably pretty straightforward.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, because I hadn't looked at that area of the code recently. So right.
I'm dropping good first issue on it then.
Okay.
And I'm switching to using my left hand for a little while on the computer.
Okay. I have commented. And we'll move on to issue ticket 4073, default arguments aren't handled correctly on method calls of unions. If a method call is valid for all members of a union, it should be possible to call the union. Okay, yeah, this is the one we've discussed on a previous sync call, I think. I thought we had, but then we didn't comment about that fact. Yeah, this is the thing.
Yeah, I think what happened is that I started talking about this bug, related bug in Sean's comment, and then probably got sidetracked with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you just didn't leave a comment there. Okay, do we think this needs further discussion? I guess we didn't necessarily agree about it. I can't remember what we talked about in the sync call. I know that I was in agreement with Jason about, like, conceptually this is the right thing to do, but it's tricky from an implementation perspective because I was suggesting that, like, the if we wanted to make this work, then what we'd probably do is create separate virtual table indexes for the cases where the arguments were supplied versus not supplied, so that it could be compatible at a call site with either variant of supplying or not supplying the default arguments. But that's a rather complicated and difficult fix. And so I think we decided that for now, we just want to document the limitation.
We were not in agreement on whether these two things are actually the same based on the existence of a default argument or not. I still don't agree with either you or Jason. I think that the fact that a thing has a default argument doesn't make it the same as the method which has no arguments. Like, I just, somebody's going to have to beat me over the head for a while to convince me of that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're not the same, but one is a subtype of the other conceptually, I would say.
Yeah.
Not equivalent, but subtype, yeah.
I understand where you're coming from, but I disagree. But I think that that's something that could take a lot more discussion to resolve. I don't think it's necessarily straightforward either way. But I do think that certainly that documenting this in the tutorial, for example, would be a good initial thing to do, right? That as it is right now, like, it's not the same, right? The way that it rejects it right now is, in my mind, reasonable, but could be surprising to some people, as it certainly was surprising to Jason. Right.
Yeah. I think either way, right? Like, I'm still going to write my comment talking about the virtual table fix briefly, just to mention that. If we wanted to go down that road, we first have to agree that it was the right thing conceptually, and then also, you know, go to the work of that rather difficult task.
I'll leave a quick note that there's still disagreement as to whether this is a bug or not, and then you can leave yours. If we did decide that it was a bug, it could be fixed in this type of way. All right, and you can leave that one. Sound good?
Yep. I already have in my comment that I agreed with Jason on this point and Sean does not agree. So you don't necessarily have to type it if you want to avoid typing.
Beautiful. Wonderful. I was going to type it all left-handed. So much better this way.
Okay. What we could do, though, is Sean, can you talk about 3874 while I work on this? Type this comment.
Sure. 3874. Oh, well, this one needs a new title on it. In the very beginning of this one, what this is that when you on 64-bit ARM, if you build the standard lib tests in debug mode, with a debug build of the runtime, we get a seg fault. And this turns out to be because the exception handling isn't working correctly, where for some examples, if you take a look at a comment from me on March 25th, it has an assert error. It's what's actually failing. The problem is that in the else block, we're trying to use the value of location from the assert error parameter, and that's actually null at that point. And this only happens in debug on AR64. It doesn't happen anywhere else. I spent a lot of time looking at this under the assumption, my initial assumption when we first looked at this and we put a workaround in for this, was that this was an LLVM bug. And then I then decided for some reason that, that well, actually, no, I think this is probably a bug in our exception handling. I talked to Sylvan about it, and he said, I could believe that. I read a bunch of documentation for it, which made me go, wow, there's all sorts of weird hinky stuff here. I could certainly believe that we have something that's not quite correct. After working on this for a considerable amount of time and working on it much more, I think this is an LLVM bug. I don't think this is a problem with our code or implementation. I started to implement the full C++ personality function under the belief that probably if I did that, it would work. But then eventually I, realizing what I was actually implementing, I was like, yeah, no, I don't see any way that this is actually going to work. I don't see any reason why this should not work why this shouldn't be working just in this one case for anything other than this being a LLVM bug, which is what is the final comment on here. So I'm going to update this. Caused by likely LLVM bug that results in incorrect exception handling on AR64. I'm going to change that, and unless somebody objects, I'm going to put this just as a bug and help wanted, because somebody could go looking for the LLVM bug, and we just leave the current work around it. And every time we upgrade an LLVM, we can test it out and see if it has an impact. Is that a good catch up, Joe? And does anybody have any questions for what I said?
I was a bit zoned out on the last part because I was typing. So I know you said you think it's an LLVM bug. Do we have a do we have a workaround that can work around the fact there's an LLVM bug for now?
Yes, it's the LLVM workaround that we put in when we first did the AR64 support. It's already in there.
It's changing the inliner.
It's changing the optimization default optimization level to be code gen opt default instead of code gen opt none on AR64.
Okay.
Because normally when you do dash dash debug for our stuff, we do code gen opt none instead of code gen opt default. And if we do default, this works fine. If we don't do default, then it doesn't work fine. Now the fun part of this is I think I documented this in here somewhere, Joe, but the LLVM IR is exactly the same on the x86 as it is for the AR64 in the debug cases, except for the tiny little bits of LLVM difference that you would expect to see based on the platform difference. As in, it's nothing that we're doing. And given that this works, on x86 with CodeGen opt none, I don't think that this is where it's hiding a bug of ours on ARM. I think it's hiding an LLVM bug, because our code is exactly the same otherwise for the two. But I am very willing to believe that there's that we could find something a little different in LLVM for the ARM and x86-64 in the code gen.
Yeah, I was just curious that like things like, I don't know, Rust panics, which I think are implemented with exceptions, didn't run into this. It's interesting. Because I know there's lots of people using Rust on all kinds of platforms that we haven't gotten into. So that's just surprising to me.
Well, so also note that CodeGen op default is, it fixes this. So it's possible that lots of people could just be using default for debug instead of none for a debug type mode. It's also possible that they are, so our exception handling is much simpler than C++ style exception handling. And we don't catch C++ exceptions, for example. We have tests specifically for that. So if somebody was to implement a different exception handling mechanism, which does handle C++ exceptions and everything else, they might end up with code which doesn't trigger this bug, right? Our use of platform exceptions is really simple compared to like what I saw Rust was doing and definitely what C++ is doing. So yeah. But I don't see anything in ours where this could be a bug in ours and have the x86 work.
Okay. All right, so workaround it is, and we maybe just test it on like LLVM 17 and see if it's fixed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just every now and then we check to see if it's working, and if somebody wants to, they can go digging in the LLVM to try and find where it would be. But I think that rather than trying to recreate the full C++ personality stuff, which contains a ton of stuff that we simply don't use, doesn't make any sense, and that the LLVM is the right place to start looking.
Sounds good, thanks. Let's take a look at issue ticket 3604. Compiler error on trying to assign a value to a cast object's property. This was okay. The latest activity from here is from Borja.
I think probably I think my comment is after the last sinkhole, so probably I forgot to remove the label.
Okay, I'll remove it now.
Okay.
And anyone who wants to more information on this can either look at the comment or look back 2 weeks ago to the sync call when this was discussed.
So does this still need investigation for the cause?
No. So the cause is the way that we sugar s. So there's a consume in there, but
okay.
Still,
and,
yeah.
Okay. And do you think this is something that that somebody who's new to the compiler could tackle, or no?
I would not recommend that.
No. Well, yeah. So I looked at it, and for me, it seemed difficult. And
based on what you put for the possibilities, that was what I thought. But I wanted to check and make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 11:30. It's not 11:30 for everyone. It's 11:30 for me, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Does anybody have any special topics they want to discuss? If no one else has one, actually, I do. I mentioned this in the RFC's channel. This is not about an RFC that has been created yet, but I was thinking about creating one. But first I kind of wanted to gauge whether people thought this was a good direction to grow the runtime or not. And basically what I was thinking about was extending the runtime. Particularly, I have already done a little bit of research into how I would extend it for Linux and for macOS and BSD. But I have not done any research into the Windows side, and I'm still trying to get a Windows VM working on my machine. It has not gone well so far. So basically what I was looking at was adding new ASIO is the, for anyone listening along, ASIO is the, which I affectionately call ASIO, is the internal event system within Pony's runtime that powers everything related to basically giving actors a message when there's something, some event has happened that they need to respond to that's external to the program. So like reading from a socket or timers, that sort of thing. So I was looking at, I was looking into adding a new ASIO event type for file system events. So things like I notify on Linux saying, okay, there's this folder that you're watching, there's now a new file created there that you should know about. And basically use the ASIO system to wake the actor up on that event and say, hey, go check out this directory because there's something new that's happened since then. I think this is fairly straightforward on Linux and the KQ systems. I'm not sure about Windows yet. Is this something that people would like to see part of the runtime or not really?
I would, yes. I think it would be a nice addition. Kind of like the way the process stuff was. And we might have to do something a little funky for it, like we did for Windows, but I bet we could come up with, you know, a way to make it work.
Okay.
I say this barely knowing the Win32 APIs at all. So don't, if it turns out to be a slog, don't blame me for having said those couple of I bet we can do it words.
Yeah. Cool. So for an RFC to be accepted, I'm assuming though grimacing at the I'm assuming that we would want to have an implementation plan that we know would at least be feasible on Windows before accepting an RFC and not just accepting one that would work on Linux and macOS. Is that fair to say, or is it not fair to say?
I would disagree with that.
Okay, so an RFC that gets things working on macOS and Linux is basically just better than nothing, and then we can add on Windows later.
We did that with the process monitor, where initially it only worked on those. I think it would be reasonable to take a short look and see how much work the Windows would be, and is it, we think the Windows is doable, or we think the Windows is not doable. Like, you know, Unix signals are not really a thing, you know, that we're ever going to make work on Windows. Whereas the process monitoring stuff, we're like, yeah, we can probably make that work on Windows. It looks like we can. And then, you know, Carl eventually came along and did, you know, I think it was Carl who did the first implementation. If it was not Carl, then I apologize to whoever did it, but I think it was Carl.
Okay. Then I will work on a prototype for that in a branch. When I have something that I feel like I understand pretty well on the macOS and Linux side, I'll do a little bit of research into the Windows side and then file an RFC for that.
So I can definitely sympathize with you trying to get a Windows VM working, because I was also doing that for previous work with the ISCP thing, and I gave up. So good luck.
Why is it so hard to get a Windows VM?
It's not the fact that it's like it's not the Windows VM. It's like it's so heavy because it requires like the entire interface, and then trying to get Pony building in there with Visual Studio. So So it's not that it's hard, it's that it requires a lot of resources and it gets very slow.
In an unfamiliar territory is part of it. Like I'm sure it's simple stuff, but.
So it's not the actual creating of the VM. It's the setting up of the VM.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole development workflow thing.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't understand how it can be so hard to create VM. I create Windows VMs all the time. Okay. The setting up, I get that part. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I really wish Microsoft hadn't got rid of TechNet, because setting up Windows VMs now is a pain in the butt to do development with, because you have to reset them every 30 days.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The tech evaluation VMs, they, like, for example, the one I downloaded expires on May 2, so I need to reset that up next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, because they don't want you to just, like, download an evaluation environment and just use it like your personal machine. Anyway, yeah.
We can talk about this when not recording.
Yeah. I spent a little bit of time trying to going down the rabbit hole of seeing if I could cross compile from Linux to Windows. If that's any indication of just my struggles with development workflow. But let's move on. We have any other special topics today from anyone? Okay, moving on to. Ticket in the Pony C repo 2060. This is Sean asking me whether it looks like you had almost finished the Gen Cap write stuff when the RFC went in. Do you want to finish this off? I need to look and see if I have the branch for that. I'm not sure if I do. Sean, did you see that I had a branch when you
posted that comment? I looked at the branch wherever something was referenced was, yes.
Okay.
I did see somewhere that there was here we go, because it's in the Pony C repo.
What's the branch?
It was called Gen Cap, right?
Of course it is. How appropriate.
Yes, feature/ gen cap dash write. And it appears to still exist. Yes.
Okay, updated 5 years ago. Let's take a quick look at my commits here. so just to see how. So. So I have a bunch of stuff in this commit that has a comment next to it that says to do, is this correct? ? So the subtyping of capability of like generic capabilities against each other is a little bit tricky. And I'm not 100% sure that the code I have here is correct.
Okay.
I also remember that this didn't seem to actually directly solve my problem that I originally hoped it would. We discussed the last sync call 2 weeks ago. I was also kind of doubtful about the name write when read is like read and aliasable, whereas write is, it's just right and doesn't matter that's not aliasable as itself. So there's some weirdness. I don't know. I would be okay with not moving forward with this. I mean, I guess that's probably pretty obvious with the fact that I haven't touched this in 5 years, but I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other. This didn't solve my problem that I actually was hoping it would when I wrote the RFC, and it's going to be a little bit touchy to get it right. If other people are having this limitation and they would like to see this implemented, then that would be kind of a different story, but I'm not sure that anyone else is asking for this. I don't know. I'm torn about whether to try to finish it off or not.
I've never had a use for it, but I found it as, you know, an open RFC, and it looked like you'd gotten a good chunk of the way along. So let me see.
Yeah. Does anybody have thoughts about whether they would, any feelings about like, oh, yes, it would be good to add that, or, oh, no, I don't really want to have the possibility of like weird edge case bugs from adding it in the generic subtyping. We already have enough weird edge case bugs in generic subtyping.
I've never...
lot of work to get that right.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear you, Jason. You said you think it'll take a lot of work to get it right.
One second. Yeah, I think it'll be just... I mean, if there's not really a compelling reason, like, I think it will add that complexity in terms of generic capabilities. Because right now, I kind of feel like it's fine how they are, but they're kind of held together by a thread of coincidence. Maybe deliberate coincidence, but like, I'm wary about adding more gen caps.
Yeah, that I'm similarly wary about that, you know, now that I've observed a lot of the edge cases, you know, 5 years later. Does anybody feel like they want to see this included? They want to see it through? Or sorry, like, not that I'm asking someone else to do the work. I'm saying, does anybody feel like they want this to be seen through?
I've never felt the need for it, but I've also haven't used generic capabilities that much.
Okay. So Sean, I think I'm going to respond in that issue ticket and say that basically what I said here, that it didn't really solve my problem directly. And sorry, it went through the RFC process and did not actually get implemented.
Go ahead, leave that comment, and then a little bit after that, I'll remove the label. All right.
Okay. Sounds good. Can while I'm writing that comment, can somebody talk about 1491?
So 1491 is a bug that Theo opened 6 years ago, almost 5.5 years ago, for a trait subtyping error where he changed something from a an interface to a trait, and it no longer compiled, and he was surprised by that, and he thought it was a bug, and I started looking at it, and eventually it was like, oh wait, the rules for traits and interfaces are actually different. And I asked Jason, is this actually a bug, or is it along the lines of a particular conversation about generics and traits and interfaces and the differences between them that was there in Zulip? And then Jason replied, and I now need to really read Jason's reply. Says, yes, that conversation applies here. And I wouldn't take this, I wouldn't personally take this to be a compiler bug, although the behavior is surprising, right? We discussed this in alternatives. So yeah. So I think the result of this is Jason, would you agree that we should close this as not being a bug?
Yeah, it's really kind of tough to say, because it comes along the line of the previous conversation we had about subtyping. It's like, this is a surprising rule. I think it ultimately, the fix for this needs an RFC.
It is surprising, but it is surprising, and it is difficult to explain to somebody immediately where they just assume that they could change something from a trait to an interface. But traits and interfaces are actually fundamentally different.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would definitely say this is not a compiler bug. It could be in some sense a language bug, so to speak. But the fix for this needs to include an RC. I could write a comment to that effect.
I don't even know that it's a language.
I wanted to give air quotes on that, but I can't do that over voice.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's a.
If it were a bug, it would be.
It would be at the language level, but
it's a design wrinkle. We can call it a wrinkle.
Yeah, I think it's a design surprise. Well, I mean, I understand the difference between structural and nominal subtyping, and I regularly find myself forgetting about it when it comes to generics, because they are pretty much, except for in the case of generics, you can pretty much swap between the two of them without any issue, right? But with generics, like the difference between nominal and structural subtyping really starts to actually rear its head. And this is one of those. Mm-hmm. So yeah, can you leave a comment to that effect? You can use the air quotes. And that, yeah, it would be, I mean, in the end, we'd have to change how generics work. And then after you leave your comment, wait a little bit, and I'll remove the discuss during the sync, the bug, the needs investigation, and I will close this, and we'll have the history on it.
Okay, so moving on to we're getting back in the really old issue tickets. 1118, segmentation fault. When actor receives a reference to itself via a class created in a different actor.
So most of these have actually been fixed as a problem, Joe, right? There's very few of the examples that people came up with are ones that I'm able to make crash. But there is one example where I can still make it crash. And I poked at it for a while. And so the issue is that we send this reference to this actor to another actor, right? And for when this is happening in this one particular case, we're not seeing that there's the RC for the actor that it sees inside of itself is a zero. All right, which says there's no other reference to it, but there is, and it's in this block which gets sent over, and then when the receiving side goes to try and send back an ORCA message for this, right? At any point, it blows up because the actor in question has deleted itself because its queue was empty and nobody else had any references to it. And it was not an ACO1. Therefore, it can never receive any messages, which is the correct thing to do, right? But the problem is that the RC should not actually be zero. And this is at the place of figuring out why. And amusingly enough, Joe, I'm wondering if this is not actually a runtime problem, but is a compilation problem, much like the bug that Adrian surfaced, which we were discussing in Zulip earlier today.
Right, where we're just to recap for those listening along, the compiler, when it's generating code for message sends It traces the message according to the compiler known static type of the message, and or of the arguments in the message. And then on the dispatch side, the dispatch function is kind of an internal function that handles all messages coming into an actor and dispatches them to the correct behavior function body after tracing them on the receiver side and making sure that the tracing on the send side and the tracing on the receiver side are both correct and consistent with one another. And where consistent is like according to the Orca protocol, where there's that, I was looking at the paper earlier today, there's like that equality of the invariant that local reference count plus OMC, that's like Orca message count. Local reference count plus Orca message count equals foreign reference count plus application message count. Making sure that invariant comes out equal on both sides is what's important.
So I don't know the cause of this, right? And well, in the sense of I do know why it goes kaboom. I don't know how that RC ends up as zero, right? I spent some time when I was looking at this and I couldn't figure out why it was zero, but the code which does the deletion is correct for if the RC is zero. So the RC should not be zero. And yes, when we were discussing Adrian's one earlier today, I kept thinking of this one. I didn't actually bring it up during the conversation, but I was like, you know, it's possible that 11, 18 might be related as well. We don't have an issue open for the other one yet, but my thought is that when we do have a minimal example for the one which is currently only exists in Zulip and open an issue for it, I'm going to note it on this one as well, that if we haven't fixed 11.18 by the time the other one is fixed, that we should check to see if it was in fact a related problem, because it could possibly be. It is similar-ish in the, it's an ISO val transition type thing, right? And it does involve going through the trait/interface code.
What is the minimal repro that you're using?
I believe the only one that I found that can still cause the problem is, I believe, the very first one. Let me check and see.
In the original post, you mean?
Yeah, in the very original post. Let's see. Okay. No, on January 27th, I did a updated example for what still fails.
Okay. So payload is an ISO. And so, yeah, response handler has payload as an ISO. The response handler, which thing is the subtype of response handler?
Handler, response handler.
Is server connection.
Yeah, server connection.
Weird. Response handler is a response handler is a val. Okay. It's using partial application. Okay. All right.
So could be related. Because I got to the point of where I had looked at this and I was like, I see what's happening, right? I can't understand why it could be happening, which is to say it was going to take a lot of investigation. At this point, because we have a bug, which I was really surprised existed, right? And is vaguely in the same area. I personally is the person who is probably going to be the one who is going to keep looking at 1118. Am going to wait until we fix the other bug and hope that it happens to fix this one. I have no confidence that it would. I have no confidence that it wouldn't. Just that, hey, it's similar-ish.
Yeah.
We actually did release a fix for a thing which took care of all of the other more minimal examples for this, which was kind of funny.
Okay. And this example, is expected to, do you know which object is having an RC of zero, the actor?
Yeah, the server connection.
Server connection actor.
Because nothing else is holding a reference to it and it has no additional messages, right? There's no reference to it when it gets created in actor test in do it, and it has no additional messages after it handles dispatch, so it deletes itself. Except okay. there is a reference to it.
Okay, yeah. It's probably... it's probably something, yeah, related to how we're tracing that response handler on the send side.
And it's a trace unknown. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is in the same area as the other one. And while different, also eerily close. So, we'll see. But if it's not, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not, then we have something. And at the very least, this one, the bug that Adrian brought to light opened my eyes to the fact of like, oh, right. I need to not just be looking at the runtime stuff potentially for this, but is it even correct? Are we even doing the right trace, et cetera, for this? Because it's possible that we might not be, right?
Yeah.
And that might be the problem. And I was spending all my time trying to figure out it based on the assumption this was purely a runtime bug and that the code that was generated was correct. And it's possible that maybe somewhere that it's not generating the correct code for it as well. So,
yeah. So I'll, after this call, I want to take a look at the, so if I run this minimal example, it should seg fault, right?
It should seg fault. I can't remember if this was one, and let me look at it real quick. Yeah, with that range of 1 million times, okay. It always seg faults. Okay. It doesn't always seg fault with lower numbers. Right. It always seg faulted for me at lower numbers because it's possible that that the program actually exits like before that, like that seg fault could possibly happen.
Okay.
Right. Or in that it's simply done and boom, and the message never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to garbage collect if you're exiting.
Yep.
Okay. I will, after this call, I will take a look at this and look at the LLVMIR specifically and try to see what's going on with the tracing around that partial application fun. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to add you as an assignee for now too. So.
All right.
Remember, just in case you forget.
Real quick on the other one. Now I'll just respond in Zulip. That's easier. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I'll respond in both places. So, about the other one, the one that Adrian raised. Yeah. So, making it part of trace dynamic is an option. Because we have the trace dynamic code right now that will, particularly if you look in gentrace.c, if you look in the function trace dynamic nominal, you can see that what it does for tracing a, and I actually wasn't I I had forgotten that this part was here, because this is kind of a high cost to pay for this tracing. I mean, it may be unavoidable, but it's actually, if you're tracing a unit, so if you have an argument that is an argument to a behavior, like, so it's part of a message that is a union type, and it's actually running through and checking it's doing a type check test against every type in the union until it finds the correct one, and then tracing that one as part of trace dynamic. So I had forgotten that this was here. Like I said, this is kind of an unexpectedly high cost to pay for this tracing. But it could be that what we need to do for this bug that Adrian raised is trigger trace dynamic in the specific case where you're dealing with an abstract type that has the possibility of subsuming, or like that at some point in the program, this concrete type is subsumed by the abstract type, and the concrete type has a different cap. Like, you don't want to pay the trace dynamic cost on like every message send. That would be a huge performance problem. But it's possible that you could pinpoint when to do trace dynamic to just this specific case. But it kind of feels like if you're going to do that work to pinpoint it, then in my opinion, you should handle it at the selector painting level instead. But it would also be valid to handle it here within trace or to use trace dynamic instead of trace known.
Yes, you should definitely comment on the zulip as well. And we can, when my hands and wrists are feeling a little better, I'm going to use trying to come up with a really minimal example of this, Joe, that shows the memory usage, so that I can open an issue for it. But it's going to be my let's see how long I can type for test to see if I can get through creating a minimal example to make this happen.
I do have a minimal example that I was looking at just to look at the LLVMIR, but I honestly wasn't sure whether the memory was growing or not, basically.
With his, it's fairly easy because it's a new 4,000 element array each time is a message sent. So,
okay, yeah, I was dealing with strings that were like always pretty low in size. Yeah. So maybe if I just make the size bigger, but would it be helpful to you if I sent over like something that was already mostly typed out and you just had to tweak it?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
It definitely would.
Let me grab that and I will paste that in the zulip for you to start with. And meanwhile, yeah, I want to look into this 1118 issue and see what's going on with that, because I imagine that we probably want to understand both before fixing either one, because I wouldn't want to work really hard on a fix for Adrian's example in a way that doesn't fix 1118, if it's possible there's a different fix that works for both.
And again, they may not be related, but there's a decent amount of similarity that it makes me go, huh.
Yeah, I'll take a look and see if I can figure out what the LLVMIR is for that. Okay. All right. Anything else before we adjourn? We're a little bit over time. We've already lost some folks. That's fine. All right. Thanks, everyone, for those who attended. Those who are listening along with the recording later, we'll catch you next week.